Hello, Raffaele Lupotto, Head of Investor Relations speaking. First of all, I would like to thank you all for joining us today to analyze the Piaggio Group full year 2016 financial results. Today's conference call will be held by Mr. Roberto Colaninno, Piaggio Group Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, and by Mr. Gabriele Galli, General Manager Finance. During today's call, we will use the presentation that you can find on our website. As usual, I remind you that during today's conference call, we may use forward-looking statements that are subject to risks that can cause actual results to be materially different. And after the presentation, we will be available to answer the question you may have. Now, I am glad to hand over the conference call to Mr. Roberto.
Excuse me if I have some problem on the voice, but the influenza is cold, flu. What I want to say in advance that today Mr. Galli will be with us for the last time, and then also with us is Dr. Montanari, that is the guy that will replace Mr. Galli in the future. Mr. Montanari is engineer and is be back in Piaggio, where he's working for more than 10 years. And during this period, he was investor relator at the beginning, then CFO Asia, and then planning and control. He is working after this experience on a company that is on the market of the sales online of luxury products. I want to say that is very oriented to the finance and also to they have to be the leadership on the management control and budgeting and to follow on the his experience that is very important for us, that is experience on the sales distribution system, where Piaggio need to reshape all the sales organization around the world, especially in Asia and India, where we are totally focused because is the market where we expected a high develop and a huge quantity of sales. Recently, we was in Bangkok, Thailand, where we inaugurated the number 200 motoplex, that is our importer that is invested on the motoplex system, and they show that with this number, that is more than 15,000 units a year, that how is possible to get more quantity in that area, especially with the Vespa brand name. So our strategy is based on the Vespa brand, is based on all the products that is collateral to the Vespa brands. We want to keep the price at the max premium level. We want to maintain our margin that is in Vespa around the world is the more high margin related to all the other products. And thank you to the know-how of Mr. Montanari. We hope to be able to implement the sales organization also through the sales on online, especially when we talk about the spare parts, about accessory, about all the other products that are coming from the Piaggio place. say that, I think that our strategy line on the next for this year and the next 2 or 3 years is based. This year is our commitment to get more results on the cash generation. We see more results on the margin, on the margin income due to the strategy to cost reduction. Cost reduction that we see to in the utilization of the different material, utilization of different system on production facility with the new machinery and the better utilization of the capacity of the plant. We like also to develop the new commercial vehicle, especially for India market and for European market and African market, where we see that is a lot of space on top of APE and on top of our Porter. We see that the sales in this area is in a good evolution, in a positive evolution. So we are exploring now some possibility where without to invest in tooling and machinery, it's possible to have a joint venture with someone that can help and can jointly work with us to develop such segment, product segment. This is connected also with the new company that we have in Boston, that is Piaggio Fos Ward, totally involved on the new technology, on the future and AI technology to develop new products for Piaggio that can help the utilization of the transportation vehicle on the city mobility. We see that we have a lot. We see that many of our customer is quite interested to see how we can help them to manage the last mile of the delivery goods. I believe that this can be solved only if we are looking in the future, not in the traditional products as it is, as what Piaggio have today, but with the new technology and the new products developed, and we have in mind something that is already prototype in this company on Boston. So I think that to give you the time for your question, low investments, focus on cash generation, better utilization of the products that in line today, with a new and a better sales organization, Vespa brand, utilize Vespa brand for scooter and Guzzi for motorcycle, together with Aprilia, and his involvement on the racing. Number three is develop the commercial vehicle, light commercial vehicle, based on the some strategic partnership, commercial, not financial partnership, to give the possibility to us to better utilize our technology in how we can manage the last mile delivery goods. Last technology innovation on the future products, through this company in Boston that is already operative, that already have presented on the all the market, all U.S. market with a big interest from everybody. I leave now the words to Mr. Galli.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Colaninno. So we can go through the presentation you can find on the website. The presentation is regarding 2016 results, and later we will have time for questions. So let's start from slide number three. Slide number three have a situation about the market demand. As you can see, the market demand has been very positive throughout the year, although there were some diverging dynamics in the different months. Starting from Western country, the demand was very positive, and there was a reinforcement across the year, showing that the European replacement cycle already goes on. The European two-wheeler demand continued to go up for the second year. It was up by 9%, mainly driven by bikes, which were up by 15%, while scooters were up by around 3%. Among the different countries, the best performance was in Italy, Spain, and the UK, but also Germany and France, which started the year negative, improved across the year, showing at the end a positive sign. Going to North America, the market was a little bit down, although the negative trend softened throughout the year. Moving to Asia Pacific, we had also an improving demand trend. Vietnam went on growing high single digit. Other countries grew apart from Indonesia, which was a little bit down. Moving to India, the demand was also positive, despite the strong decrease during Q4 due to demonetization. The three-wheeler were up at the end of the year about 6%, with a strong push for cargo vehicle, outstripping the pack segment. The four-wheeler ended up flat after some increase at the beginning of the year because of demonetization starting from November, while the scooter went up by around 15%, and India became, thanks to this growth, the largest market in the world. Moving to slide number four, we can have a look at the business highlight per region. Western country had a very good performance. In Europe, we've been able to gain market share by around 1.3%, and now we are leading the market with more than 12 percentage point market share over the second competitor. The strong momentum for sales in Europe went on, with volume increasing very much in Italy, France, and Germany, also after a reduction of the dealer network stock. North America went on negative, but the trend improved across the year, so the fourth quarter was better than what we showed after 9 months. Vespa and Guzzi had a very positive performance in Europe, confirming the strong brand appeal. In terms of pricing, the average price went a little bit down because of a switching mix to new vehicle. We had a very strong success. The name is Liberty and Medley. In Asia Pacific, the performance was a little bit weak. Vietnam continued to decrease the volume. Asia ex-Vietnam continued to grow up with volume driven up by Indonesia and Thailand, where we will be presenting in the next future also the full product range, including premium motorbikes. Moving to India, the three four-wheeler performance was impacted in the fourth quarter by demonetization, while the two-wheel good momentum continued. We experienced some market share loss during the year, but this was softened across the last month, so especially October, November, and December, compared to the beginning of 2016. The performance in the two-wheeler segment was positive. As you know, we launched in the last part of the year the new vehicle, Aprilia SR, which is performing well without keeping any sales from Vespa. So we can say that the addition of the new scooter was a net addition in terms of volume, giving also positive result on plant utilization, and so on cost of the product. Moving to slide number five, we can have a look at the highlights. The net sales were up by around €18 million, plus 1.4%. The EBITDA was up by €9 million, which is around 5.6%. And the net profit was up by around 18%, or €2.2 million, thanks to an increase of gross margin, plus €15 million, with a strong improvement in terms of ratio to sales, so from 28.9 to 29.6. After a slight increase of cash OPEX and an increase in depreciation, the sum of the two was up by around €11 million. After financial expenses slightly reduced compared to last year, and with a tax rate increased by around 5 percentage points from 40 to 45% due to some impact of some specific item which were not cash or monetary, just accounting. Moving to CapEx, we had a total investment of around €97 million. Which is a little bit down compared to previous year, 102, it was the number. In terms of free cash flow generation, we had an acceleration, generating around €32 million versus 24 last year, despite the effect of demonetization during November and December month. Debt was down to €491 million, in a reduction of €7 million compared to December 2015. Moving to slide number six, we can have a look on detailed number of P&L. So sales were up from €1,295 million to €1,313 million, plus €18 million, 1.4%, excluding the Forex, plus around 3%. The gross margin was up by around €15 million from 374 to 389, plus 3.9%, would have been 4.9% excluding the Forex effect, with, as we said before, a very important increase in terms of ratio to sales by 0.7 percentage point. The EBITDA was up by €9 million from 162 to 171, plus 5.6%, with a strong increase in terms of ratio to sales from 12.5 to 13%, which is one of the top ratio we experienced in the last year. As we said before, depreciation was up by around €5 million from 105 to 110, leading to an EBIT increase by €4.2 million. Financial expenses were down by €1.2 million, leading to an income before tax up by 5.4 versus 2016. And taxes were up by 40 to 45%, an increase of €3.2 million due to ratio increase and income before tax increase as well. With the net income going up from €11.9 million to €14 million. In terms of net financial position, we improved the total number by around €7.2 million from 498 to 491 this year. Moving to slide number seven, we can have a look at volumes. Volumes as a total were up by 2.4% from 520 to 532,000, with diverging dynamics. Europe and Western countries, as we said before, performed very well. We had an increase overall in the Western country by 8.1%, of which EMEA represented around 9.4%. Asia Pacific was down by 7.3%. India two-wheeler, after also the introduction of Aprilia SR in September, was up by 39.7%, from 28,000 to 39,600 units. Western country commercial vehicle were up by around 15%, from 13,000 to 15,000 units, while India commercial vehicle was down by around 6%. If we exclude the demonetization, which costed us around 9,000 units in the last two months of the year, the decrease would have been by around 2,000 units, mostly focused in export countries such as Nigeria and Egypt, also after the political and the macroeconomic issues that these countries are facing, and which are affecting not only Piaggio, but also the whole industry. Moving to slide number eight, we can have a look at sales. Sales were up by 1.4%, as we said before, 2.8% excluding Forex. Forex was mostly focused on India, and a little bit on Britain, so the sterling pound. Looking at the different region, we can say that Western countries were up by 5%, out of which EMEA was 7.1%, would have been +5.5% in the overall region, excluding the sterling pound effect. Asia Pacific was down by around 5.3%, would have been 4.8% excluding the Forex. India two-wheeler up by 38%, would have been 44% excluding the Forex. Western country commercial vehicle up by 12%, and India commercial vehicle down by 7%, would have been -3.4% excluding the Forex, or nearly flat excluding the demonetization effect. Moving to slide number nine, we can have a look at the sales divided by product. Scooters were up by 4.6%. Bikes were up by 0.5%. The e-bike were up, but the number are very limited, so the ratio is not appreciable. We had a decrease by 4.2% in commercial vehicle, mostly due to the Forex effect, which we saw before, and due to the demonetization. Spare parts and accessory business was up by around 1.4%. Moving to slide number 10, we can have a look at EBITDA evolution. The EBITDA last year was around 162 million euros, or 12.5% on sales. We had an increase in gross margin coming from the sales increase, with a total amount of around 5.7 million euros. We had also an improvement due to the increase of gross margin ratio, which amounted to 8 million euros. Remember, the gross margin ratio went up by 0.7 percentage point to 29.6%. We had an increase in OpEx, cash OpEx, of course, we are talking about EBITDA, by around 4.7 million euro, with a total EBITDA of around 171 million euros, or 13% on sales. Moving to slide number 11, we can have a look at the net result evolution. Last year, the net result was 11.9. We had a positive result coming from EBITDA amounting to 9 million euros. A decrease in coming from increase of depreciation amounting to 4.8 million euro. A positive effect coming from reduction in financial expenses and an increase of taxes due to higher taxable income and higher tax rate, leading to a net result of 14 million euros, an increase by around 2.2 million euros versus previous year. Moving to slide number 12, we can have a look at the net financial position. We started at 498 last year. We had a positive generation from operating cash flow by around 123 million euros, and a reduction in working capital of around 5.4 million euros. CapEx were around 97 million euros, providing a free cash flow generation, adding up the three numbers we said before, of around plus 32 million euros versus 24 million euros last year. We had change in equity, namely buyback and dividends amounting to around 25 million euros. It was 29.2 last year, leading the net financial position at 491 million euros. Of course, the demonetization had also a negative effect, apart from volume, also in net financial position. The fact that we lost in the last 2 months, momentarily, I would say, 9,000 units, together with the fact that we weren't able to recover the full amount of VAT, the sum of the two parts are around 8 million euro, the first one, 7 million euro, the second one, had a total impact on net financial position of around 15 million euros, meaning that without this crisis of India macroeconomics, we would have achieved the target, which was around 476 million euros for the end of 2016. Both of the two components we consider are, of course, momentary, because no issue in demand will follow the partial crisis we had in the last month, and also, of course, no issue in order to recover the VAT credit that the Indian government didn't pay at the end of 2016. Last slide number 13, you can have a look at the different components of the balance sheet. Trade receivables were down by 6.3 million euros, from 79 to 72.6. Inventories were down by 4.4 million euros to 208. Commercial payables were up by 15 million euros. We have been able to generate around 25 million euros from the working capital management, leading to a net financing of the working capital amounting to around 110 million euros. Then we had other assets and liabilities, mainly deferred tax asset and the VAT we have been commenting before, increasing the other assets and liabilities by around 20 million euros, leading the total working capital negative, so generating cash for around 36.3 million euro versus 30.9 last year. In terms of total assets, the sum of tangible and intangible was down from 993 to 981, having a generation of around 12 million euros due to capex of 97 and depreciation around 110 million euros. The financial investment stood pretty flat compared to last year, as well as the provision, leading to a net invested capital reduced by around 18 million euros compared last year. In terms of net debt, we had a reduction of 7.2 million, and in terms of equity, a reduction of around 10.6 million euros, coming from a net result of around 14 million and buyback plus dividend of around 24. Last number, the net debt over equity ratio is at 1.24 versus 1.23, so very much aligned to last year.
Okay.
So we are ready for questions.
Yes, so we are ready for the Q&A session. Okay.
The Q&A session is now open. You can register for your question by dialing star followed by 1. To cancel your reservation, please dial star followed by 2. Thank you. So today's question comes from Ms. Monica Bosio of Banca IMI. Ms. Bosio, please.
Yes, thank you for taking my questions. Good afternoon. The first question is on the is on India. I understand that the demonetization is having just a temporary effect, but in January the market was still negative. I'm just wondering if you can give us some indication of Piaggio projected volumes for India in 2017, because I think that at least for the first month of this year, the monetization might have some impact. And the second question is, in your speech, you mentioned the better cash generation and some margin expansions in 2017, also thanks to the reduction of the OPEX. Can you give us some indication in terms of target, how much OPEX do you think it's possible to cut for this year? And the last, very last question is on the new products. I've seen that e-bikes maybe can do something more in the future. If you can give us some indication on the strategy to improve or push revenues on the e-bikes, and what is your idea for the electronic Vespa? And lastly, for the new mobility products such as Jeeta, do you have any idea of the potential market or the potential revenues that could be in future generated by this last product? Thank you very much.
Okay, so starting from India, if we start from consumption, so the consumption of the products went on without any impact coming from demonetization, because I mean we cannot say that the cargo industry in terms of kilogram transported or the PAX industry in terms of passenger was reduced during these past 5 months, or I mean the reduction was absolutely very limited. So the aging of the product went on, and the fact that people didn't decide to replace the product was entirely due to an absence of cash in the street. So what we expect is that after the last 2 months and after some beginning months of 2017, the consumption will go on the same pattern as it was before, or maybe it can also increase because somebody postponed the purchasing. So going to when? January was also affected by reduction in purchasing of new vehicle. February is also affected, but with a decreasing ratio. Our colleagues in India expect that March can be the first month when the result of demonetization is reduced almost to zero. So we can expect a normal trend after March or maybe April. But I mean, if we look at the longer term result, I mean, of course, starting from Q2, it should be 100% resolved. So from this moment on, we will have a market on similar trend compared to last year. Last year, before the monetization, the market was increasing, especially in the PAX segment, and Piaggio was making volume a little bit higher compared to previous year. So now is hardly to say, very difficult to say which will be the volume at the end of the year. So it's too early. Of course, we have our budget, but we are not disclosing the volume at the end of the year right now. In terms of OPEX, so OPEX weren't reduced during 2016, because actually if we see the OPEX, there was an increase in cash OPEX by around 4.9 million euro, if I remember, and an increase in total OPEX of around 10 million euro if we add up also the depreciation.
Mm-hmm.
So for the next year, so 2017, in terms of depreciation, the depreciation is going to increase. So if, I don't understand why it's so difficult to make all the analysts thinking about a higher depreciation, but in your modeling, I see that you are always short of depreciation cost, and this year would be another year of increase, simply because, I mean, we have been investing for a couple of years, which were 2011 and 2012, a reasonable amount higher than 100 million euros, and so sooner or later we have to pay it. And 2016 was a year where the total depreciation was around 110, and 2017 will be closer to 120 than 110. But this is mathematics, so
okay.
Anything to say about that. Going to cash OPEX, of course, the new initiatives, such as the initiative Mr. Colanino was mentioning, so PFF, which are a great potential for development for the next year, we'll have some cost, as well as we are investing very much in marketing in order also to develop the new distribution network. Apart of these two areas, the other OPEX, cash OPEX, should remain pretty constant, because we don't see any other investment in any other areas. Moving to e-bikes, we are not happy about the commercial performance we had in e-bike. We think that the product is very good, as well as the market is increasing very much. And so we will focus in the forecoming months and years in order to make this product gain a fair amount of market share, because the product is very competitive in terms of pricing, and also is very, very competitive in terms of technology. So probably we have to solve some distribution issue, but we have to make also know the product among the consumers. but the product in itself is very good. Moving to development of Gita and Kilo, I don't know. I mean, I can comment maybe.
As you can understand, we are on the first stage of this project. We have already finished the first prototype of Gita and Kilo. We are on the way to present these two products to the potential customer in the United States. We have identified the customer. Customer is B2B, primarily B2B, and is in line with the idea that we get to the use of these two products. That is, one is for the service inside to the some platform where Gita have already performed very well. We have received highly interest from the big U.S. corporation for the different utilization. We expected in the next 3 months to be able to complete this market analysis and to get more information about that. But at the first stage, I want to say that the interest from this potential customer is quite big, and so we are optimistic on the results of this first stage of the project.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Stefano Lustig of Equita. Mr. Lustig, please.
Good afternoon, and thank you for taking my question. The first question is on Vietnam, the Vietnamese market and Asia. If you can provide us with volumes in the Vietnamese market you sold in 2016. So to have a breakdown out of this number we have for Asia Pacific, what was the performance of Vietnam and what was the performance of rest of Asia? And then if you can give us a comment on what is happening in Vietnam and what are expectations for 2017, and what are the strategies to expand the business in the rest of Asia, and if you can give us a sense and an update of how things are going in those markets. The second question, sorry, is on the initiative Mr. Colaninno was mentioning at the beginning of the call. I'm not sure if I understood well. For sure, we mentioned new initiative in the last mile, such as Gita and Kilo, but I had the impression, tell me if I was right, that you were also mentioning about new initiatives in commercial vehicle in India. So if it is so, if you can give us more detail on these initiatives. Thank you.
Hello. So, starting from, I mean, your first question, as you saw, the total volume for Asia Pacific went down by around 6,500 units from 88 to 81.6. Vietnam, we had a reduction of around 9,000 units from 47 to 38. Among the other countries, we had a good performance in Indonesia. Indonesia was up by around 16% from 10,000 to 11,600. In Thailand, where the increase was around 25%, and to 2,200, which was what Mr. Curanino was mentioning before. Also in China, the market for Piaggio was up, but the number are still very limited, but the increase was around 30%, showing that our strategy to grow in the premium part of the market is giving good results. Moving to initiative in commercial vehicle, and over to Mr. Colanino.
Yes, I believe that you know that today Piaggio sells commercial vehicle mainly in Europe and in India. India with the Ape three-wheeler, in Europe with some Ape and some Porter, that is four-wheeler products. We see that the trend of the demand of these products is a good improvement, not only in Europe, but also in some countries as Africa, where the margin is quite high and where the market is very promising. We have to renew our brand products, our products line, in order to present a new Porter and to replace Ape that we expected to be in large decline for the next 3 years, and also because it's coming a new European legislation in a diesel engine. So we work already from 6 months how to find the solution to stay in this very good market and to replace Ape and to present a new Porter to the market without to invest too much and in the way to utilize the machinery and tooling and all the infrastructure line that we have in Pontedera. While we have a very good sales group of people that is that know very well this type of market in Africa and know very well this type of market in Europe, we find that we can find the solution commercial relationship with some company that is interested on the European market, but today is not present with the products. And through our sales organization, through our knowledge of what we know already about these products, about the customer that utilize this type of products, we are in condition to combine on the commercial point of view with such company, that Asian company, is not a European company, and to move on to implement and to utilize on a better way the line of production that we have in Pontedera, without to reduce people and without to be in the risk to have some general cost to restructuring and to revise product line and product market. The results that we get for the first months of this year is very good, and we have identified also the way how to get this project. We expected to be complete the project to optimize the relation with our company in India. There will be focus on the Ape products, and we keep in Italy the production of four-wheeler that will replace Porter. The reason of this is because the customer that they appreciate very much the Porter dimension and the Porter utilization for the last mile, we believe that we are able not to lose any sales on this market that, and by the way, is improving itself on 17, but we are able to get this opportunity where Piaggio used to be one of the leaders of the market of this small commercial vehicle. I can not be in position to display too much more about this, just to say that we are quite positive, we are very satisfied at the point that we have reached today, and we expect it to be finished all the project by the end of the year.
May I ask you a follow-up question, sorry? I respect, obviously, the fact that you cannot give us too much detail, I totally respect. But let me check if I understood. The combined effort with this commercial partner will be mainly Europe and maybe also Africa. Is this the commercial area that will be addressed by this joint venture, let's say?
Absolutely, yes. On Europe, I can say that we have the exclusivity sales area. Africa depends from how we switch the country between us, when they say between us, India and this, is the two area is Europe and Africa.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next question comes from Mr. Renato Gargiulo of Intermonte. Mr. Gargiulo, please.
Yes, good afternoon. My first question is on price mix. Can we assume for 2017 a slight improving pricing, especially referring to Europe? The second question, you were at the beginning of the call, you were referring to lower amount of investments, and also related to this last question, could you provide us a guidance about CapEx this year compared to last year? And last question on the tax rate, we have seen a 45% tax rate in 2016. Can we assume any material impact from the patent box this year? If I may, just a last question on the Indian market. We have seen the negative impact from the monetization. Are you expecting any possible plan from the Indian government to introduce some incentives for the automotive sector? Thank you.
Okay, so starting from the price mix in Europe, so this year we had a very positive result from the newly presented vehicle, namely Liberty and Medley. As you can imagine, the price of Liberty and Medley is a little bit below our average, so the fact that these two vehicles performed very well caused a little reduction in average price. So in any case, since it was positive, since it was an increase in volumes and an increase in market share, we are happy of this new net addition. For 2017, we expect more or less, the mix is going to stay stable compared to what happened in 2016. We manage every year, we had, of course, at the beginning of the year, a slight increase in price list. So there should be also disadvantage looking at 2017 performance. Moving to CapEx, We have an average plan of CapEx for the next years of around 100 million per year, because, I mean, we have to develop not only the vehicle in commercial market, the president was mentioning before, but also the total product range, including bikes, including scooters, including new technologies. So we feel that 100 million is the proper number. For 2017, the number should be aligned to 100 million as well. Moving to taxes, this year we faced a one-off item because we had to some way have double taxation on some dividend we imported from Vietnam last year. But it was a double taxation just by an accounting point of view, because we had the deferred tax asset. For the next years, we believe that we will be able to manage this and to avoid this tax increase, which accounted this year for the difference in normal tax rate. So we feel comfortable about keeping the tax rate at 40%. Also including, I mean, some advantages coming from Patent Box, which you mentioned before, from Industry 4.0, such as super and hyper depreciation, and other items today in place. Going to the Indian market, I mean, the general reduction in consumption was, of course, across all the automotive industry, so not only three-wheeler, but also four-wheeler cars, but not only limited to this kind of, let's say, durable goods, but also in the normal goods, if it's probably the foods and other primary need goods. So maybe the Indian government will be willing to do something in order to push the demand, but we cannot be sure about that. We hope that. In any case, we believe that once the liquidity crisis will be finished, which should be around March, April, I mean, the availability of notes in the market should be able to push again the consumption at the normal level, which we were used to see in the past year, before 8th of November.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Filippo Prini of Kepler. Mr. Prini, please.
Good afternoon. I've got two questions. The first, how much of the gross margin increase that you delivered in 2016 is coming from reduction of prices of raw materials? And, the planned prior repricing that you announced for 2017, usual repricing, should be enough to offset any possible inflation from raw materials. And the second, if you can give us an overview of the sell-out data of France and Germany in the first two months of this year. Thank you.
So, I mean, the increase in gross margin came partially from reduction of raw material, but not only from that, and this was not the most important part. Moving to, for example, India, where the gross margin grew more than in the other country, we had a deep reorganization at industrial level, starting from plant and moving to supplier. So of course, we benefited from a reduction in raw material, which may last or not. It seems that during these first months of the year, then the steel is a little bit increasing again. But since the biggest part came from internal activities, we are not worried about that.
On top of that, as we said, I mean, during 2017, at the beginning, as we do every year, we increased a bit our price list, and this price increase should be able to keep our gross margin on the strong side, such as it happened in 2016. Sellout for Germany and France at the moment, I don't have with me, but the fact that the market was on the positive side during November and December is, I believe, a good news, I mean, also for the beginning of 2017. But at the moment, I don't have the sellout.
Okay,
maybe in the next days or weeks, when the data will be available, you can make an update with Raffaele.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Next question comes from Mr. Gabriele Gambarova of Bank Agros. Mr. Gambarova, please.
Yes, good afternoon to everybody. I was wondering if you could tell me what are the perspectives for Vietnam in 2017, because the most recent performance, in particular in Q4, was very disappointing, I would say. If my calculations are right, in Q4, sales in Vietnam were down by more than 60% to around 5,000 units. So I was wondering what's happening there and what do you see for 2017? And the other question was on the Aprilia SR150 in India. If you could provide us sort of guidance or what are the perspectives for this specific model, and if your production capacity at your local two-wheeler plant can be saturated with this specific model, or there is still spare capacity there. And last but not least, if you can provide us a guidance for a net financial position by the end of this year, since you told us you will focus on free cash flow generation. Many thanks.
So, just to, I mean, make a proper comparison, starting from Vietnam. I mean, last year in the fourth quarter, we had the launch of Liberty. And so, I mean, the launch of Liberty really gave a very good volume for the last quarter. And so the comparison this year is made, I mean, comparing apple with oranges, of course. We don't want to say that the situation is positive in Vietnam, because in any case, if you look at the last year performance, we have been reducing our total volume. But in any case, the situation is not so negative as it can appear from a direct comparison between a quarter when there was the launch of a very important vehicle, and last quarter of 2017, when there wasn't any launch. Moving to India, so SR has a very good performance. During these first months of the year, we are selling around 3,000 units per month. And so, I mean, a minimum target which we want to achieve this year is going to be at least this kind of sale per month, probably increasing, because we are also working on the dealer network, and a similar volume of Vespas as it is happening during this first month. Mm-hmm. Of course, the fact that we double the product range and we are doubling the volumes compared to a single product is giving also advantages in terms of capacity utilization. As you know, our plant in India has an installed capacity of around 150,000 units. So the fact that we are achieving something which is in the range of 50% of the capacity utilization is giving a lot of advantages in terms of fixed cost absorption, and so ultimately in terms of gross margin achievement. NFP at the end of the year. So as we said before, this year, without including the 15 one-off item, which will be recovered during the first months of 2017, the absence of impact of demonetization, which also had a direct impact on the VAT recovery, could have led to a net financial position, let's say around 480, so being on a stable path of improvement compared to what we showed in September. For 2017, we feel that something around 465-460 is absolutely achievable. Of course, small variances such as the one caused by a cash one day before or one day later, the VAT credit in India may occur. So you cannot have the control on everything. But as you can see, we have been performing very well on the working capital side across the last years, and we plan to maintain the same performance on that. The EBITDA should be able to increase in 2017 compared to 2016, while the CapEx are in the similar range as it were in 2016. The financial expenses are pretty stable at around 36 million euro, and the tax part is going to be proportional some way to the net result. So working the mathematics, we should be able to generate the kind of cash flow I was mentioning before.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Nicolo Storer of Mediobanca. Mr. Storer, please.
Yes, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my questions. I would like a little bit to focus on the fourth quarter, and in particular, I saw that you registered a spike in the other cost and gain item, so I was wondering which is the reason behind this huge increase in the fourth quarter, and if this increase is something repeatable also next year or not. The second question is on volumes in Western countries in the fourth quarter. I saw a huge increase, and I was wondering how much of this increase was due to Italy and in the change in legislation for Euro 3 vehicles. And on the full year, the split between Europe and Americas. Is it reasonable to assume that you sold in America 13,000 units? Last question on D&A going forward. You said before that depreciation will be higher this year versus 2016. Which is your assumption on amortization? Here, can we assume a certain degree of stability? Thank you.
So, starting from, the other gain and... So you're talking, about Other operating income, so the fact that around, I mean, 3 million euros, so we had an increase of 3 million euros out of 109 million euros. So last year 106, this year 109. So that's the huge difference.
And on the fourth quarter is 29 this year versus 22 last year and versus 18 in the third quarter. So I was wondering if, I mean, maybe it's just.
On the fourth quarter, we had some sale of some malts to our joint venture in India, which is, I mean, part of our strategy because we want to develop our product range there. And so probably this is the amount. I'm talking about, I mean, something around the 3 million total difference, which you see in full year. Moving to the volume in Europe, if I understood properly, yes, there was an increase. As you know, we had a change in regulation, so there was a movement from Euro 3 to Euro 4. And so some of the dealers across our dealer network, but also all the other competitors, in order to reduce the stock of Euro 3 models, decided to make some promotion or something in order to increase the sellout of this product. So this is the one of the reason why Piaggio, but also all the other brands, made a good sellout performance in the fourth quarter. Americas, I mean, the performance had a good improvement in the fourth quarter because we had a good performance in export to Latin America. And I mean, after a strong beginning of the year in January, we experienced throughout the year a constant improvement, which is going to last, we believe, also in 2017.
No. Okay, so basically, all the sales in Latin America are under Americas, both three-wheelers and two-wheelers, or just two-wheelers?
Also.
No, I was speaking about two-wheelers, Nicolò, so we were speaking about two-wheelers. Yeah.
Okay, and
Because the answer was yes, I think.
Okay.
A good improvement in Q4, in two-wheelers Americas, and there has been a good improvement also in commercial vehicles, but the answer was referring to two-wheelers.
Okay. Yes. And on the last question on D&A?
Can you repeat the question? Because we gave a guidance of sort of 120 million euros of D&A for the full year 2017. That was the answer that we gave to
Okay. Because I was wondering if the increase you speak about before was related just to the depreciation or also to the amortization item. But I guess
No, it was the total and the total amount.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Now we are ready just for one other analyst, and then we have to close the call. So the last one, please.
The last question comes from Mr. Michele Baldelli of BNP Paribas. Mr. Baldelli, please.
Good afternoon to everybody. I have three questions. The first one relates to these malts sold to the joint venture in India. Is it coming on the P&L because the joint venture is not consolidated? Because otherwise, I should not see it. Should offset one each other. The other point relates to the same point. I see on the cash flow statement that there are capital gains on fixed assets and so on. which is restated from the P&L, and this is related to Q4, is around 2 million. Does it relate to the same amount that we have spoken about malls to the joint venture? Is another thing. And then if you can update on 2016 about how much did you capitalize of R&D and what is the level of securitization, not the reverse one, the direct one. Thank you. Or factoring, yeah.
Okay, so sorry, maybe when I was explaining about Miles, I said India. No, I was talking about China. So that's the reason why, I mean, it appears in the consolidated, because China joint venture is not consolidated.
Okay.
And so that's the reason. Of course, if it would have been India, it shouldn't be in the P&L. The reason is very clear. I mean, China as a, represents a great opportunity for development, and enlarging the product range there may be for us a good opportunity to increase the sales in China or in neighboring countries, or having also opportunities for buying back some products. Of course, I mean, the same amount is in the P&L and in the cash flow. Going to your last question, the total amount of R&D capitalized is 31 million euros, very much in line with last year, and the total number of securitization, I'm thinking you're talking about the reverse factoring. No, so sorry. Okay. Securitization in receivable is around 89 million euros.
Okay, just to verify, because I see on the cash flow statement a restatement of 2,267 from the cash flow in 2016. So this is not the malls sold to the joint venture in China, because
there
is 3 million. I see a restatement from the net profit from the cash flow statement of 2,267. That is not related to the mold, so it's something else.
Oh, sorry, but I mean, well, let me check, because I mean...
No, but just to understand, because it can be another capital...
So...
It can be another capital gain that you booked in Q4.
You're talking about 2552. So maybe, Raffaele,
Michele, I will check, and then I will tell you later. I will check, okay?
So, okay, perfect.
Thanks. Sorry for that, but we have to check, okay?
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. So I think that this answer draws the call to an end. Thank you very much, everybody, for attending the meeting, and thank you. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is over. Thank you for calling.